Sunshine State in Florida. Welcome to the Master's Call. 30 seconds more. Welcome, welcome to the Master's Call. Give us a shout out of your name and where you're calling from.
Gary from Kentucky.
Oh, hello, Miss Kentucky. Welcome, welcome to the Master's Call. Who else do we have out there this morning?
Everett from Detroit.
Good morning, Mr. Everett from Detroit. Always good to hear our baritones in the house. Well, again, this is Dr. Vanessa from Dallas via Prairie View, Texas, this morning doing my Holy Hazel duty. And I just appreciate God for each and every one of you being on the line this morning. Sorry, I don't know what happened when some of us got bumped off, but God is still on the throne, and he is still ruling and reigning in our lives. This morning, we are excited because we're going to have a doubleheader surprise. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I was so blessed yesterday with that powerful word of the Lord from Pastor Chuck, and he has agreed to come back, and I tell you, have us Eagles soar a little higher. But before he does, let me just give a few announcements, and we'll have our opening prayer by Miss Robin Wilson today. And we want to encourage each and every one of you, if you would go to our website. And on our website, we have an archive of all the powerful messages on this journey that God has given Dr. P.K. Roberts and myself and our lovely Dr. Joycelyn, who has been standing in, and Dr. P.K.'s sabbatical, as we have been honored and humbled to host this call. You can visit our website and literally click on the different links and avail yourself to the powerful, powerful messages. Our website is www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. The Masters with an S, morningcall.wordpress.com. And we also have been blessed to have an email because we know we're very, very, very clear. One of our missions, one of our mandates and assignments is to bombard heaven with prayer, with intercession. And we encourage you to email us your prayer requests. And we have a group of anointed and appointed prayer warriors who get these lists, and literally we speak the word of God over these prayers and watch God move faithfully. So please email us at themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. And let us know if there's a prayer request, or even send us a praise report, or just give us a shout out to let us know you're there. And then we want to encourage you to know what our mission is. Let me stop these chimes. Hold on just a second. The mission and the mandate been given us from the beginning is we are called on this Master's Call each and every morning to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as they begin their day. We take that so seriously, that through the word of God, the preached word, the word being taught in your spirits and illuminating your mind is enriching you, is enhancing you, and utmost, that spiritual deposit of God's word is empowering you to go out and be the minister in the marketplace each and every day. And the scriptural basis for this call can be found in Psalms 88:13. And in that 13th verse of Psalms 88, it reads, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." So now that you're fortified clearly on our mission and you know it's based on the word, I tell you we're excited that the thread of Artists International brought us all together. Artists International is a family-owned, God-anointed and appointed company that we are so honored to be a part of. And for those of you who are on the line who are not a part of Artists, we welcome you, encourage you to get back with the person who invited you to this call so you can learn what we we're all so excited about. We want to definitely keep in prayer the upcoming meetings from coast to coast that are being held, and just cover them in prayer that the will of the Lord will be done. So, Ms. Robin, if you could come to the line now and give us our opening prayer so we can get the man of God up to bless us this morning. Are you there, Ms. Robin?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Dr. Vanessa?
Loud and clear, woman of God.
Praise God. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Lord God. And we just thank you for this terrific Thursday. We thank you, Lord God, because we have the opportunity to thank you. We thank you because this is a day that you've made, Lord, and we are glad to be in it. Lord God, as we come forward to receive the word from the man of God, we thank you that it will be planted on good ground, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for the founders of this call, Father, Dr. PK and Dr. Vanessa, Lord God. We thank you for the hosts that have filled in. We thank you for Dr. J, who's standing in the gap also for Dr. PK. Lord God, we thank you for Artists International and the founders of that company, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you alone deserve all the honor and you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord God, for every person that's on this phone, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that there will not be any type of interference, no type of distraction, no type of hindrances on the airways or on the phone line, Father. We thank you for the word that is coming forward from the man of God, and it will be powerful. It will be imparted into us, Lord God, and we will go forward and do your word and be a doer of your word and not just a hearer only. Lord God, we thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord God. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Lord God, for being the God that is more than enough. There's nothing missing in our lives, Father, and we just thank you that we have an opportunity to just come to you and thank you for who you are in the name of Jesus. Back to you, Dr. Vanessa.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Minister Robin, for clearing the heavens and opening up the airway so that our hearts, our minds, and our spirits can receive this awesome word from our general today. Many of you have heard him, and you never, ever get tired of the rhema that flows out of this yielded vessel. Our speaker, son of the ministry, is such a faithful and steadfast part of our master's call family. Just love him so much. Pastor Chuck Brown Hills from New Orleans, his church, Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center in Metairie, Louisiana. We're so excited for him with his new sanctuary. His wife, Marcia, stands alongside him. He is my dear Morehouse brother graduate and my Spelman sister. They are a powerful team down there in New Orleans. He is all encompassing, yielded to God as a father, a husband, as the senior pastor, an anointed musician, and author of a book we all need to get and read and be blessed by. And I want to bring to the line, so he has plenty of time to pour out what God has poured into him. Pastor Chuck Brown, the floor is yours.
Good morning, sweetheart. God bless you. Thank God for you.
Good morning.
For the anointing that lies upon your life and those who share in the assignment, Pastor Dr. PK and Dr. J and others. Bless the Lord for each listener, every person who's on this line this morning, and the powerful prayer that went forth. We praise God for each and every one of you. Well, we get right into the Word of God. First Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 2. It reads, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were serving there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah He gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord had shut up her womb. And then her adversary also provoked her so for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as the years went by, she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Go down to verse, gets around the 12th verse. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli mocked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said, listen, how long would thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah said, O Lord, listen, I'm not drunk. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count, I'm almost finished with this reading. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no more. This morning I need to share a word, because sometimes we're going through periods where we think that we can't handle what we're going through. And we sometimes are enduring times, and you'll hear this in a moment, where it's just dry for us. So I want to share this morning on enduring barren periods, enduring barren periods, enduring barren periods. The devil has us deceived many times into thinking that we cannot handle what we're going through. But we have to learn how to endure and press through our trials and endure, how to endure past and press past our pain and our discomfort to become who God wants us to be, because whenever you're going through anything, understand that God is trying to bring you somewhere. And just because you're going through doesn't mean that God has forsaken you, doesn't mean that God has let you down. Understand that he's trying to bring you somewhere, but you will not get there without going through something. Everybody is going through it. Don't ever think that you're alone in this regard. Again, we're ministering enduring barren periods, enduring barren periods. Barren, to be barren is to be in a position where you're not producing or incapable of producing offspring, but you're sterile. It also means to be unproductive or unfruitful, as in a barren land. It means to have without capacity, or to be without capacity to interest or to attract, or mentally unproductive, not producing results, destitute, bereft, lacking. We all go through periods where we're childless. Hannah was with her husband. She was going through the motion, and I need you to just imagine what I mean. She was doing what it took to conceive, but she could not bring it to pass. Have you ever been to the place where you've done all you can, but you're still not seeing results? You filled out application after application after application, only to see them all come back denied. You try to go back to school, but you're still fail and so forth. You're trying, but it seems like you can't get ahead. You're not just sitting around waiting, but you're going through motions, but you're not seeing any results from the labor that you're putting forth. I want to minister to you this morning. I'm going to give you several points, and I know God is going to bless us. Back in verse 5, you got to see this. Back in verse 5, it says that unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord had shut up her womb. Here's number one. Get ready for this. There will be times when God will delay your blessings. There will be times when God will delay your blessings. It's important to note that the Lord shut up her womb. It was God that caused all of her efforts to be in vain. Now, why would God do that? Why? Why would God cause what I've been praying for to be delayed? Why would it be the Lord? Why would it be his reasoning? Because it doesn't say it was the devil that had a barren. It doesn't say that it was the enemy that had a barren. It says that the Lord shut up her womb. Why would God shut up this woman's womb? She was faithful. She was consistent. She wasn't religious. She had a relationship with him. Oh, God, why would you shut up my womb? Well, it's sometimes the reason why God will do that is because he knows it's not our time yet. See, you've been working and trying to do certain things, and God is like, well, yeah, I appreciate your effort, but understand that it's not your time yet. And I'm a living witness that you have to wait your turn. You have to wait your time. I am a prime example that sometimes we can be like little teenagers, or, you know, when we wanted to drive, and your parents knew that, well, you're 12, 13 years old. You can't drive yet because you can't handle what it takes to be behind the wheel. And God is looking at us saying, listen, I know you want it real bad. I'm not telling you you won't get it. I'm just telling you it's not your turn yet. And we don't like to hear it. I'm telling you, we're like small children. We don't want to hear when we can't get it. We're so used to getting stuff right now. God said, well, you can chill. You might as well go ahead and chill, because I may not come when you want me to, but I'll come right on time. Not your time, but I'm going to come when it's the right time. The other reason why God will sometimes do that is because he has something better for us. Listen, we're looking at this particular request we have, and God is like, but that's way below what I have for you. I know you want that real bad, but I got something better for you. Then the other reason that God will sometimes shut up our womb is because he's waiting for us to get in place. He's waiting for us to get back into his will. He's waiting for us to get back to the place where he can bless us without having to go beyond his word, or bless us without having to change his word. Because, see, God's word will never change. It will never fail. If you're in sin, if you're not in right relationship, then God said, I can't bless you. I want to bless you, but I got to lock it up until you get back in place. I got to lock it up until you get back in my will. I got to lock it up until you get back to where you're supposed to be. So, Lord, there are going to be times when God will delay your blessings. But as we've often heard, these past 15, 20 years, delay don't mean that you denied. It doesn't mean that God has denied you. You just got to be willing to endure those barren periods. Here's number two. No, never compare the season you're experiencing with someone else. Never compare the season you're experiencing now with someone else's. In verse 6, it talked about, in the scriptures that we read, in particular verse 6, it talks about how her adversary, Peninnah, was having all of these children, but she couldn't have one. Mm-hmm. Her competition couldn't stop getting blessed. There are people around us who don't have a real relationship with God. They never go to church. They never read the word. They never pray. They never do right, but yet they seem to be prospering while we're barren. When you begin to compare your life with someone else's, you will inevitably get discouraged. Your walk with God is your walk with God. Your journey through life is your journey through life. Your destiny is your destiny. Your relationship is your relationship. Your promise is your promise. That means that you must look at your situation as an individual affair. Because sometimes, and I know you might not like this morning, but sometimes you're catching people in their time of harvest. Yeah, you're catching them in the latter part of that particular season. You didn't see their labor. You didn't see their tears. You didn't see the seeds they had to sow. You didn't see their experience. You're looking at the good marriage. You're looking at the I tell people all the time, my wife and I tomorrow are making 16 years of being married. We would have been married 16 years. And a lot of people will come up to us, especially the young couples, and say, oh, we love how you all love each other. Look at how you all are. You're just so lovey-dovey. We want a marriage like that. Wait, before you start saying what you want, then you need to understand what we had to go through to get to this point in time in our marriage. You're seeing the good part of our marriage. You didn't see those first 7 years where we were almost right there at the verge of divorce. You didn't see the pain that we had to go through, and the struggles that we had to endure, and the neglect and the rejections and all of the things that we had to go through. Stop looking at what other people are dealing with and where they are. It's going to make you depressed. I'm telling you, you have to understand that God is going to release it to me when I'm supposed to have it. And just because everybody else is around me and it looks like they're prospering, it's like when David went through, he said, look, my feet almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he started talking about how they having a stress-free life. They're just doing things well. But then he said, you know what? I went into the temple and I saw their end. Yeah, God set them up. They look like they're doing well. But everybody who looks blessed ain't blessed by God. I'd rather wait until the Lord gives me mine than to myself and to be tripping about what it is that you have or don't have. I'm going to wait until it is my turn, because I don't know what you went through to get what you got. So I don't know what I'm dealing with. So I'm going to stop comparing the season that you're experiencing with mine. Listen to me. Number three. Learn to walk in your purpose even when others don't understand it. Learn to walk in your purpose even when others don't understand it. Verse 8 is very interesting, and I want to read that again. I'm almost there. Then Elkanah, her husband, said, Hannah, what are you crying for? Why are you not eating? Why is your heart heavy and grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? God, some people just don't get it. They want you to be satisfied with what you have. There are people who don't understand. These are people who don't understand purpose. Hannah knew that she was purposed to be a mother, so she would not be satisfied until she could feel that purpose. My members, they trip. Sometimes they like pastors tripping. They can't understand why I never like empty chairs. I can't stand empty chairs. You think I would be happy? You think I would be happy being in that same position, you know, at least having the folk that are there come? Well, I'm never happy because I know what I'm purposed to do. I'm purposed to reach the masses. Yeah, you think I should be happy renting? Why would I be happy renting? You know, at least you got a car over your head, you know. No, I'm not happy with it because I know I'm supposed to be owning. No car. I'm always getting rides with folk. No, I need my own situation. I'm content, but I'm not happy about it. I'm like, Paul, I've learned how to be content in all things, but don't expect me to be complacent. Don't expect me to be happy about anything other than what God told me I'm supposed to have. When you understand purpose, you're satisfied. You're never satisfied living outside of it. I understand why some people, male and female, want to be married badly. It's because they know that they're purposed to be a husband or a wife. Listen, I'm purposed to preach. I'm purposed to teach. I'm purposed to write and compose and to produce and to sing. I understand my purpose, and I refuse to live outside of it. I move out of this city before I allow anyone to shift me from my God-given purpose. I have to make sure that I'm walking and living in purpose. Number four, here it is. God wants to know that his release won't cause you to regret. And God wants to know that this thing is bigger than what you want. He wants to know that you won't get this request in turn from him. He'd rather you not have it and have him than to have it without him. Yeah, in verse 11, this woman says, God, look, if you give me this baby, I'll give him right back to you. And so God is asking the question, are you going to use this blessing to honor me or to honor yourself? If I bless you with increase in your paycheck, will you increase your giving, or will you still sow what you've been sowing? I need to know that if I give you your heart's desire, that your heart won't turn you from me. And then finally in verse 5, in verses 12 to 15, you can look at it on your own time. Here's number 5. Whatever it takes, get your blessing. Whatever it takes, get your blessing. When you're going through barren times, don't worry about anyone else. Do what you have to do to get yours. This woman looked there, and she came to church looking like she was drunk, just talking to herself. But when I need God to do something for me, I'm not worried about any of your opinions about me. I'm not worried about how you feel about it. It does not matter to me. I got to get what God has for me. I said finally, but number 6 is the final point. Once you release your petition, act like it's already done. I love how it says in verse 18, once she understood what God was going to do for her, she gave it to God and changed her countenance. I need you to understand, and I want you to get this in your spirit, give it to God and leave it alone. She wasn't sad anymore when she really gave it to God. Before that, she was begging and begging and begging every year, begging and begging and begging. But now that she believed that what she was praying for was going to happen, she left it alone, and that's when it happened. What we do is we act like we've given it to God, then we still worry about it. We act like we've given it to God, then we still cry about it. We act like we've given it to God, but we get sick about it and get paranoid and paralyzed and have stress and panic attacks. God is trying to get a people who's going to really believe that when I give it to you, God, I've given it to you. It's no longer my problem. It's no longer my issue. It's no longer in my hand. I'm putting it out of my hand, and I'm casting all of my cares upon him, for he cares for me. And God said, when you give it to me, understand now, since it's no longer your problem, get back to your regular business. Act like you already got it. Act like it's already done. When that woman acted like it was done, that's when it happened for her. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm telling you, give it to God today and leave it alone. You don't have to pray about it anymore. Once you've released it to God, now you can thank him for it. God, you don't have to beg God, God, please heal me, please heal me. Once I've asked him for my healing, now I'm going to act like I've got it. I know that it's on its way. Listen, when you want to endure barren periods, you got to give it to God and know that he's going to open that womb again so that you can be productive in life. God bless you. I know I went over my time. God bless. Please forgive me, Dr. Vanessa. I apologize. God bless you all.
Oh, that's okay. The Holy Ghost had his way this morning. We don't worry about time. We worry about being obedient and submitted. That was a word from the throne room of God. Thank you so much. I tell you, you always have a cutting-edge word. Eat this word today. Enduring barren periods. He gave us five awesome points. There will be times when God will delay your blessing, because he knows it might not be your time yet. Two, he taught us today, never compare the season you're experiencing now with someone else's. And then thirdly, learn to walk in your purpose even when others do not understand. God wants to know your release won't cause you to forget. Five, whatever it takes, get your blessing. And six, once you release your petition, act like it's already done. In other words, don't wait till the battle's over, shout now. Thank you, man of God. Awesome word. Willa, come close us in prayer. Give us our prayer request, but seal this awesome word in prayer.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Can you hear me, Dr. Vanessa?
Loud and clear.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for that rhema word we heard from Pastor Chuck this morning. Father, we thank and praise you that we know that even though it may not look like we're being blessed, that you are working on our behalf. We thank and praise you, O God, that even though it doesn't come when we want it, we know that it comes right on time. Lord, because we can trust you, just as Pastor Chuck said, that you know what's best for us. Father God, we thank and praise you that we don't even compare our situations to anybody else's. As we look at our lives, Lord, and as we look back on what's going on, Lord, that we look forward to the prize, forward to the purpose that you have for us, O God. Father, we thank and praise you that even after you bless us, even after when we call out and ask for you to bless us, that we give it to you, Lord, and leave it there, just like as we go into a room and we flick on the switch of a light, a room that's dark, just as we flick the switch, something happens, oh God. But in the midst of the time that we flick the switch and it happens, Lord, we know that it's going to happen, and that's the way it is with you blessing us. When we call on you to bless us, Lord, just as we ask, you already have it, and you do it, and you bless us in your own time. So help us, oh God, to have that light flicking kind of switch faith in you. Father God, we thank and praise you that after you've done it, Lord, we don't even take the credit for it. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. For you told us, oh God, to be anxious for nothing in our lives, but with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to you. And then you told us that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. So with that peace and with that understanding, oh God, we bring forth all of our prayer requests to you. Lord, we've lifted up Sister Evangelist Gwen Beatty before you. We've lifted up Vivian Frank Lovey for who's been battling cancer, oh God. We've lifted up Brother Elijah Roberts before you. We've lifted up Sister Maxine Adair and Nathan, oh God. We lifted up Ina Payton before you, oh Lord. Father, we've lifted up the entire Marie Preston family, oh God, and George, oh God, for the swollen face after a car accident. We've lifted up Sylvia and her five children, oh God. We've lifted up Renard, oh God, and his decision to move into Atlanta. We've lifted up Jackie's children, Latrice's children, and for her mind. So, Father God, because we have lifted these up before you, you know all about the sickness. You know all about the financial situation. You know all about the mind control and the things that have been going on with people's mind and the instability that it appears to be. But because we have lifted it up to you, oh God, we know that you are already answering the prayer. So now we give you praise for what you're doing. You may not work in each one of these situations at the same time, but we know that you are working. So we thank and praise you, oh God. We've lifted up Artists International and the founders. We've already given all the conferences and all the workshops and all the events that are going on. So we know, oh God, that you are already working on our behalf. So, Father, as we continue to walk with these lifted up prayer requests, we thank you for the blessings that you have already done. We give you praise right now. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Back to you, Dr. Vanessa.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for lifting up those prayer requests, and we do celebrate that it's already done. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Chuck. I tell you, you are such a blessing to our Master's Call family. We speak the virtue of God, the favor of God, the provision of God back into you, your life, your ministry. And I thank you so much, Minister Robin, for opening us up. We're just excited about what God is doing on the Master's Call. We want you to get excited because another powerful evangelist, Dr. J, will be bringing the word tomorrow. And as we always see, we see why the devil acted crazy today, Pastor Chuck, because you had a word in your belly. But I tell you, we're leaving out rejoicing, giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And remember, it's your turn now as we pass the baton to submit and obey to the call of the Master on your life, being his minister in the marketplace. Go out and have an awesome, awesome day in Jesus. Bye-bye.